There is nothing to report from the closed session. And our student representative to the board is not here, so we'll move on to school report. Kynoch Elementary School.
Good evening, board members and superintendent. I am really happy to be here tonight and to talk to you a little bit about Kynoch and how delighted I am to be part of the Marysville team. I'd like to say that having served in other school districts, I'm very pleased about this school district, and I'd like to commend you on your consistency with district office staff and the culture that you've cultivated here in the district. One of value and respect, and I really like that, and I'm really proud to be part of this district, so I thank you for that. I am settling into Kynoch. I'm enjoying it very much. We have a wonderful staff there. Great dedication. I'd like to give kudos to someone who's sitting behind me here, Pete Pantoja, my vice principal. He's been wonderful to work with and has helped me to settle into my role there. So I'm really grateful to have him on my administrative team at the school. My goals for the year this year, I have three of them. One is relationship building. I want to get to know all my staff and community members and parents and students. Another one is systems analysis. I want to look at the school, and as a set of fresh eyes, I'm able to go in and look and see, you know, what systems need tweaking, what things do we need to add, and things like that. And then, of course, always, always supporting student achievement. Okay, so what I'd like to do, I have a couple things to show you tonight, because Ryan said I needed to talk for half an hour. So I'm kidding. Nobody ever gets my jokes. It's okay. Okay, I want to show you one of our Kynoch newscasts because I just love these, and they're fun. And Mr. Pantoja does these every week.
We asked women to smell two.
Sorry. This one? Thank you.
Good morning, staff and students. My name is Jaden.
And my name is Michaela.
With the first announcements of the school year. This school year is underway. Kids are happy to see their friends and settle into their new classroom. Welcome to Kynoch, everyone. We are going to have an incredible school year.
Kynoch has three expectations. Everyone should be respectful, responsible, and healthy. In the classroom, on the playground, in the cafeteria, in every nook and cranny of the school, you should be respectful, responsible, and healthy. Nice job to all the students who do this day in and day out.
Throughout the school day, if an adult catches you being respectful, responsible, or healthy, they may give you a cup card. If you get a cup card, turn it into the classroom teacher, and your name may be drawn. If your name is picked, you go to the cup card store on Tuesday during morning recess and pick a prize.
One of the new faces at Kynoch is first grade teacher Miss Malik. This is her fourth year teaching. She lives in Penn Valley with her husband and wonderful kids Josh, Maddie, and Tyler. They have a little Shih Tzu and named Tank. Miss Malik enjoys going to the movies and reading. She really likes baseball. Her favorite team is the Cubs. We won't hold that against her. Welcome to Kynoch, Miss Malik.
Good morning, girls and boys. I'm Mrs. Huerta, and I'm your new principal, and I am happy to be here. My job is to make sure you're safe and that you learn everything that you need to learn to move on to the next grade level. You'll see me all around the school, on the playground, in the front office, in the cafeteria, and in your classroom. When I come into your classroom, just keep learning. I'm coming to watch you learn. So it's going to be a great year, and I'm excited to get to know all of you. And just remember, be respectful, be responsible, and be healthy.
Starting this year, we are using referrals. When students are not respectful, responsible, or healthy, they may get a referral. Yard duty teachers and other KINOC staff member may give you a referral for not meeting our expectations. Your teacher, Mr. Pantala, and your parents will get a copy of the referral. In the end, you make great choices. Everything will be fantastic.
We had our back-to-school night yesterday. Parents came to see their child's teachers in the classroom. Thanks to PTO and all the volunteers who helped serve, and extra special thanks to Sandy and the cafeteria crew for helping prepare the food. It was a wonderful event.
Thank you for watching. My name is Michaela.
My name is Jaden.
Reminding you to be respectful, responsible, and healthy.
It goes on and just shows more pictures of our students. But what I'd like to do is move on now and introduce somebody who is also new to our school, who we are delighted to have. Her name is Susan Hadorf, and she's our new music teacher. She's doing a fabulous job. And we have three students here who are going to play for you tonight. It's Esteban Schumacher, Davian Santiago, and Svetlana Maximova. So I'm going to have Susan come up and talk to you for a minute, and then they're going to perform for you.
Hello. I won't talk long, I promise. I just want to tell you what these guys are doing here and why. We just are so grateful that you guys have been so supportive of giving elementary music back into this district. I'm really excited to be a part of it. So who I have here today, we've got two students who have been playing for 1 year. Started last year, and I'm taking over with them this year, and that's Davian and Svetlana. And the three of them are going to be playing Hot Cross Buns first to you. And then we have Esteban is in the middle, and he just started playing 2 months ago at the beginning of the school year, and he's going to be playing Twinkle Twinkle for you as well. So are you ready, guys?
Mm-hmm.
up in front of a group of adults to do that. So I'm really grateful that they were willing to come and do that tonight. Do you have any questions of me?
No, but I have a comment. At the end of the year in April at Anna McKinney's school, there's a talent search. And oh, yes. No, wait a minute. If you're 10 or under, or there's three categories, 10 and under. Okay. And then 11 through 14 and 15 through 18. So there's prizes in each category. Anyway, good work.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, comments from board members? Mr. Crawford? Mr. Danimal? Mr. Boom? Mr. Rasmussen?
Sure. So last week I had the privilege to visit one of our preschool programs out at Arboga School, and I got to tell you, it's amazing what opportunities we have for such young children. Just to see the social aspects and then the work that they're doing there. So I'd like to commend Kathy Woods and all of her teachers and all the staff of the preschool program for what they're doing for our younger students. It's just amazing.
Mr. Fleury?
This last week I've been started visiting all the new principals to get to know them, and I finished up at Yuba Feather with Mr. Triplett and, of course, Ashley at Browns Valley. And each one had comments about very good. They appreciate the support this district gives them. We know that, but they realize what a great support they're getting from the district. Browns Valley, the maintenance were amazing out there. They've done such a good job in the grounds, and they mentioned that when I was out there, that it's just a beautiful place, and they really enjoy that. And I also have read the book Gay gave us, Strength Finders, and I realized in reading that, in fact, I'm on my second reading of it. It took me a while to get started, Gay, I apologize, but we have a lot of strengths in our administrative staff, and we're very lucky to have the staff people we do that work with our young people. And a couple of the principals mentioned, this is one of the most self-oriented towards student that they've ever seen. They've never worked in a district that was so oriented towards students, and we really have great principals, and our new ones are very good, and I'm pleased to get to know them.
Mr. Harris?
Just a couple. One is I'm looking forward to the big reveal next week at Lyndhurst High School, and the second one is I can't believe how much courage you three have to come up here and stand in front of all of us and perform. It just takes a great amount of courage, and I applaud you.
I'd like to congratulate our maintenance and grounds crews. I've been up and down the hills quite a bit in this last week, and you pass by the schools and they just look fantastic, and all of the work in parking lots and buildings, and it's a thrill to go see all the different facilities. Okay, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Joint, our Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Okay, Operating Engineers Local Number 3. California School Employees Association, Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit, that brings us to public comments. I have one comment card. Inga Schlusser. Okay. come on down. Unless you would like to wait for that part of the... Okay. It wouldn't be right if you weren't at the microphone.
I was expecting to do this during the session, the part about the animal, service animal stuff. Sorry.
She's pulling up her notes.
I was looking at your board policy stuff, and this is, it's kind of association. It's kind of, the thing about service animals for people with disabilities. Let's see. I can't remember what page it's on. I was looking online at your stuff right before coming here, and I got an opinion from an attorney about the paragraph that's, oh, here it is. Sorry. It says, if the sole function of a service animal brought onto, I'm sorry?
If it would be more comfortable for you,
I'm good now. I got it now. I got it now. Thank you. If the sole function of the service animal brought onto campus is to provide emotional support, comfort, therapy, companionship, therapeutic benefits, or to promote emotional well-being, it shall not be considered to be a service animal. All comfort animals, which are not service animals, shall be subject to the rules governing animals brought to school for educational purposes. And that particular paragraph concerned me because it seems like it's discriminatory toward mental health when our country has deemed mental health to be in parity with physical health in so many aspects, including health insurance and providers and all that. So the attorney I talked with wrote and said, I think the first paragraph of the board's policy is potentially discriminatory against people with mental disabilities who need a dog as a reasonable accommodation for their disability. My quick read of the law is that a dog is a service dog if it is specially trained to assist a person with that disability, even where the disability is mental, for example, bipolar disorder, PTSD, etc. Calling a dog a comfort animal creates a definition that I haven't found in the law and could potentially be seen as trying to lessen the value of service dogs who assist people with mental disabilities. So I just wanted you guys to consider that when you're at that part of the agenda. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, that brings us to superintendent's report.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rex. In front of you, you have several invitations that I've put there for you should you want to share this evening with anyone that you may come across in the next week or so. It's been highly publicized throughout the district, and we have sent invitations out to all of our elected officials and anyone else we could think of. But if we've missed someone and they are unaware of the big reveal, please be sure to give them one of these cards. On the back, it does have the Hall of Fame ceremony, so if folks want to know what that's all about, that's a separate activity, and there is a cost to participate in that of $25, but I understand the meal that you're going to be served by the Culinary Academy is well worth that and much more. So please put that on your calendar. I know the board has already done that, but invite everybody. We can't wait to show off the beautiful new campus. Just a reminder, on the 29th, which is this Thursday from 2 to 4, there is a board study session where we will be walked through our financing program overview, and we'll talk about possibilities for future funding that may be out there for all of the facility needs that we have throughout our district. As you are all very aware, we have aging facilities that have great needs, and it is imperative that we look for any form of funding that's out there to help us address those needs. I did get a call this afternoon from our new County Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Francisco Riveras. He is having a board a boardsman's workshop for candidates on October 6th. I did give him your regrets for those of you who are up for election this year because you hopefully are all going to be out at Lyndhurst High School. So most of you here sitting on this board are experienced board members with at least 4 years under your belt. And so it's geared more towards the brand new candidates, but I wanted to let you know you will be getting an invitation, but it does conflict. So don't know if he's going to change that schedule or not, but if he does, I'll be sure to pass that on to you. You also received in your Friday packet from me The Buzz, our latest issue, our first issue of the year, and it does have a little description of each of our new site administrators in there, so I hope you take the time to look at that and also to look at the other related articles. Hopefully folks find that to be informative and a good source of what's happening throughout the district. And I believe that is all I have at this point in time. Thank you.
Okay. Approval of minutes from 9/13/16.
There's one change I'd like to make. On that day, Mr. Danable led the flag salute, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
And with that change made, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, moved and seconded by Mr. Crawford. Mr. Harris moved. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The consent agenda. Would anybody like anything pulled from the consent agenda or discussed? If not, the board will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. Mr. Danable moves to approve. Mr. Rasmussen seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. For the audience, the consent agenda is read way ahead of time, and it's items that are not regular business. Okay, now we have new business, educational services, resolution 2016-17, 05. Oh, use my glasses. Availability of textbooks and instructional materials. Any discussion? We're holding a public hearing. Any discussion?
No one comes to the mic. I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Okay. Second.
Okay, Mr. Harris moves to close the public hearing, and Mr. Crawford seconds. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Now we need a motion to approve the resolution. Okay, if there's no further discussion, somebody would. Okay, Mr. Crawford moves to approve resolution number one. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor?
Aye.
And next, Superintendent, Board Policy 2110. Superintendent responsibilities and duties. I think we should turn that over to our superintendent.
Well, this is for a public hearing, and as it states in the agenda, it is an amendment to the current policy that would allow myself or designee to have the authority to approve public works of improvement and record notice of completion that do not exceed $175,000. That allows me to approve those. And the recommendation is that not only the board hold a public hearing, but then after that hearing to approve the amendment to board policy 2110.
Okay. Is there anyone who would like to come to the mic? I'd like to say on this, $175,000, even though it may not be what it used to, is a heck of an amount to give the authority to go move, and also give the power of the superintendent to designate someone to do this. I just wonder if there's how many things come up that are, if it was $10 or $100 or even $10,000, that's a lot different than $175,000.
Did Julia
So, yeah, I'd like to hear more about that.
So currently we file notices of completion with the county for any project $1,000 or over. So we're currently already doing it. We haven't been bringing them to the board. I know in the past there's been some discussion, so we're trying to create a clear line. The 175 is under the California Uniform Public Cost Accounting Act, which CUPCA, which we adopted earlier this year. 175 is what we got to public bid. Anything between above 45 and below 175, we do informal bidding. So that's where the 175,000. It doesn't mean we're not going to do notices of completion. They'll either be Dr. Todd or myself will approve them. I'm the designee if she's not there. So, or in the case of our absence, Mr. Caron. But we do file the notices of completion. It's just with the smaller projects, obviously, there's more expediency in getting those done. So usually the larger projects that go to public bid, 175, or go lease back if we ever use that model again, would come to the board for their approval.
Mr. Rasmussen, did you?
If there's no further discussion, I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Okay. Anyone else care to comment? Not? We need a second. Okay, Mr. Crawford seconds. Okay, the public hearing is closed. Now we need a motion to approve the amendment. Oh, excuse me. Well, I vote on closing the public hearing. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any nays? Okay. And now we need a motion to approve the amendment to SB 2110.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Mr. Danilo makes the motion. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? One.
And the name is by?
Mr. Rex.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to board policy 6163.2, animals at school. We need to open a public hearing for that, so I declare the hearing open. Okay, was there anybody that would like to speak to that?
Mrs. McGill's husband and I went to high school together, so a long time ago in a land far, far away. Wanting to introduce you guys to Teal. She's my second guide dog. I just retired from Caltrans. After 36 years, I was in charge of all the advanced computer simulation modeling for the state. And I want to talk to you guys about guide dogs. Teal has 75 round-trip flights in her all over the U.S. over the last 8 years. Well, actually 7 years. She's now 8 years old. Now that I'm retired from Caltrans, she's not happy. She wants to keep going, but I don't, so it's okay.
Okay, before we go any further, for the record, can you state your name?
Douglas MacIver. Last name spelled M-A-C, capital I-V-O-R.
Okay, thank you.
Not a problem. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about guide dogs. Okay, my first guide dog, the puppy Razor, was over in Lake County, and she took it to school all the time. And I think it really helped Ridgely be socialized. What I can tell you is the impact of these dogs. Like, when I travel everywhere, she's always with me. She doesn't get bugged by going into Washington, D.C. We were just in Woods Hole in June, and she seems to love it. But I believe it's because of the program Guide Dogs for the Blind has. For the last 10 years, I've been working with the schools in Sutter and Sacramento County to talk with the students about disabilities, about blindness specifically. And Teal goes with me, and my guide dog before her, went with me, Ridgely. And it was a great opportunity to talk to kids about disabilities, how disabilities cannot be, how they can be not limiting. You just have to think differently regarding them. And you know, what a guide dog, the power that it gives me in terms of mobility. Personally, I think it's great that the board wants to have a policy to allow puppy raisers to bring their dogs to high school. I think it's personally outstanding. My first guide dog did that, and Ridgely was really a fantastic animal. I think it's a great opportunity for the kids to see what guide dogs are all about, to participate in, and to really learn that disabilities aren't limiting and the power of what a guide dog can do. So, you know, I just want to say that I'm really strongly in favor of that. I want you guys to know that a guide dog provides extreme mobility for somebody like me. Teal and I have gone everywhere from Woods Hole to Washington, D.C., North Carolina, South Carolina, Michigan, Canada, everywhere. And the dog has given me extreme mobility. And I really want to encourage the board to support a policy where the puppy raisers can bring their dogs, and believe me, they are not dogs, to school. Teal still hasn't figured out she's not a dog. So, but I really want to encourage that, okay? Thank you kindly.
Hi, my name is Celeste Buttram, and I work for Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Excuse me, could you be a little more clear there?
Yes. Celeste, last name is Buttram, B-U-T-R-Y-M, as in Mary, and I work for Guide Dogs for the Blind as a field rep for the puppy raisers. I want to tell you a little bit about guide dogs. I know we heard just now from one of our graduates. But Guide Dogs was established in 1942. That's 74 years ago. And over the years, we have developed our own breeding program. We breed all of our own dogs, and they're bred for temperament, for calmness. The dogs that do not make it in our program often go to other working-type organizations. We have over 900 puppies being raised right now. 2,500 volunteers are part of that raising process. Right now, we have about 20 to 25% of our raisers take their puppies to school. It's a huge social environment for the dogs to be in as far as being able to acclimate to hand clapping, for instance. This Klein I didn't introduce is 10 months old, and he's not my dog. He's being raised by one of the leaders. I've raised about 25 dogs, or have trained or raised 25 dogs, four guide dogs. And I wasn't sure if he would be okay with the hand clapping because he's kind of young, but he did wonderfully, and he did wonderfully with the violin. And this is the type of dog that would come to school, a nice, calm, easygoing dog that is trained before it gets ready to go to school. We often will, we make sure that the dog is ready. Is it house trained? Is it gonna be afraid of something? We give a little test to the dog to make sure that it's gonna be okay that way. In a lot of the schools that we have, a lot of them are FFA, but they're also mixed, so FFA and non-FFA schools. So we have crates set up in one classroom. So if there's a problem, that dog can go into a crate temporarily until we can get someone to come and get the dog. We also have, if a student has an allergy to a dog, we will have another student take that dog during that class. So we have it all set up before we start the program. Let's see. Going to tell you about every raiser has to be certified through our program, so they can't just come and take a puppy without going through our program. They have weekly training, and then we give them individualized training. So I thought I would open it up for a moment if you have any questions for me.
How long is their training?
Their training usually is a year, right around a year. So you get the puppy when they're eight weeks old, and they go back around 16 months.
And you require an individual every week to come to a training, and then
They have to be trained weekly and daily by the raisers. And the one thing I can say that I'll try not to get emotional about when I talk, I've seen these dogs change kids' lives. You have this shy young kid that doesn't want to talk to anyone, and by the end of that project, they are out talking. Because people come up to them all the time, how old's your dog? What's his name? And by the end of that year, they are much more social. So, thank you.
Can you tell us some of the school sites that you have the training dogs in?
Well, I should have brought my list, sorry. Nevada Union High School, Bear River High School, Ponderosa High School. I have some in the Sacramento Valley, Pleasant Grove, I think is the one school that I can think of. We have some also in Fresno. That is not my area, so I don't know the names of those schools, but one of the first FFA programs was out of the Fresno area. So we have about 40 schools that allow puppies to come.
Anything local other than Sacramento?
Any other comments or presentations?
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Kathy Anderson, Kathy with a K, Anderson with an O-N. I always ask to spell that. I'm the retired superintendent of Winship Robbins School District in Sutter County. And my daughter raised guide dog puppies from the time she was in fourth grade. So starting in 1994, when I was a teacher at Winship School, we went before the board and asked for permission to bring our puppy to school, which was granted. And through the course of all of her years as a puppy raiser, we raised 9 dogs. And as Celeste just said, it completely changed her life. She was one of those kids that was afraid to say anything in front of anybody. And within a year and a half, she was standing on folding chairs in front of groups of Rotary of 50 people and didn't blink an eye. At that time, it was unusual, I think, for people to bring puppies into the schools. But since that time, I became that same year in 1994 the co-leader of the Yuba Sutter 4-H Guide Dog Puppy Raisers. So our 4-H club is actually where Mrs. McGill's 2 daughters raised guide dogs when they were in high school. That's how we made the connection there, although she would like to raise puppies through FFA. So our organization is the 4-H organization in Sutter County. I think that having the dogs in a school experience is unique in that it gives them such a range of diverse experiences that they wouldn't get if they were home sitting in a crate or home alone. And I think getting them out into the public is so worthwhile for them. But it's also a worthwhile experience for the students who come in contact with that puppy. One of your graduates, Marysville High School graduate in 1988, is Lena Contreras, who went on to UC Davis, got both her bachelor's and her master's. She's now on her 6th working dog. So she's gone through 6 dogs, most of whom came from Guide Dogs for the Blind. She couldn't be here tonight because she and her guide dog are in Seattle. But she asked me to let you know how much she supports having guide dog puppies in the schools. She thinks that the puppies being trained in so many different areas is so key to getting a guide dog that knows what he's doing. So I know that you guys have the best interest of all of your students in mind, and I hope that allowing dogs to come to your Marysville schools will be part of that decision. Thank you.
I did have a question for you. Do you currently only utilize school sites, or do you utilize malls? Do you utilize the churches?
We utilize everything we can use. The puppies basically are attached to the student from the time they wake up in the morning. It's a 24-hour project. So they go to restaurants, they go to schools, they go to stores, they go to church. The puppies go with them every place they go.
So there are alternative places that they could get the same kind of interaction.
There are, but then unless the parent has
unless the parent takes the dog to work with him every day, then the dog is going to be in, you know, there's a lot of places where people work that they couldn't take a dog. You know, if they work in an office, they certainly probably could, but if they work in the field or they are a landscaper, then they couldn't take the puppy with them. So the alternative to having the dog at school with the razor is to have the dog in a kennel at home by himself.
Nice. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
My name's my name's Jeff Herbolsheimer, and that's J-E-F-F, and Herbolsheimer, that's spelled the usual way. And my wife and Kathy have been the co-leaders for the area guide dog group for years and years, I think roughly 25 plus years. But I don't really want to talk about the dogs for a second.
Let me stop you for a minute. We're going back to the Herbolsheimer.
Okay. Herbolsheimer.
For our secretary here. She's responsible for...
H-E-R, Bold, B-O-L-D, as in David, S-H-I-M, as in Mary, E-R.
Thank you, J-F-F.
You're very welcome. So, going away from the dogs for a minute, I want to talk about curriculum. Obviously, this is a school environment. Our program, not my program, but the program that Kathy and Suzanne work and the 4-H program is an overall program where these kids are learning skills of interaction. They're learning the responsibilities of taking care of a dog, the group dynamics. They have parliamentary procedure. They have the meetings. We have kids who... in our group, they're required. They're going to be the public relations. They'll be the secretary. They'll be the treasurer, vice president. And this year, your number 74, if you're into football, which I imagine you are, Mr. Parker Jinx. Parker is the president of our group, and he is, I'm not going to say he was ever shy, but if you ever listen to Parker with his public speaking, and his enhanced skills of running the meetings and everything, you'll realize this is a great training that there's just no substitute for. So, the public presentations that they do, they normally will come up. They'll be talking to people. Kathy Anderson mentioned her daughter, Dr. Jamie Anderson, by the way. Yes, she ended up, I believe she even addressed this state senate introducing a bill for cell phones. So these kinds of things, this is where the kids have that responsibility. They're given that opportunity. I would just imagine as an educator being able to have a curriculum like that that is so enriching to these kids would be a wonderful thing to have. About dogs again. I'm going to talk about the service that they do. These kids are learning that with their time and effort, they can make a difference. We already have heard about Teal. Now, Teal was raised by a guide dog puppy raiser, and you can see what great work, you know, Teal has gone on to do. And not in any way as a criticism, but I would almost guarantee you none of you have been to a guide dog graduation. And most people don't, but if you had, we probably would never even have this discussion. When you go there, you see how much this means and what a public service that the whole family involved, not just the student or the puppy raiser, but the whole family and what they're able to accomplish. And this gives them just a wonderful opportunity to be of great service. Also, want to talk about the kind of support, not about the dogs, but the kind of support that Marysville has given. I think when we look back, and some of the people, it's in my fading memories a little bit, but the Doublebowers, I don't know if any of you know that family, but they were one of the first in this area to work with guide dogs, and the Doublebowers are originally out of this area, out of the Marysville School District area. And they were one of the very first. You have been supporting guide dogs for over 30 years. When you look at some of the students that have come out of it, I think there's maybe some of your finest. You know, you have a Kelby Simonson, you know, from a number of years ago. We have the Doublebauer girls, and Bailey Jenks, she's going to graduate here. She's going to be a senior at Oregon. And these kids regularly will go into college-type programs, and they become leaders because of their experiences, and you have been able to help provide that by having the opportunity for these young adults to come and be part of, bring the dogs in and be able to help do that kind of service. We already mentioned Lena, who is just an amazing, amazing person, and benefited greatly from it. And of course, our number 74, Parker, who will be paying this Friday night, I'm sure. But when you look at Parker and you look at any of these kids, it's a sum of the total. It's what is being, what they're able to do. And the question was asked, can the dogs get this same kind of opportunity outside of the school? And that's yes or no. When a dog comes here, they are all kinds of distractions that they may face that our blind person or their blind partner later is going to be coming in contact with. They're going to have schedules that they have to keep. They're going to be going to sporting events. And so on. And so it is a really a rich environment for the dogs to be. It's a rich environment for the kids to be. You guys have done it for over 30 years. That service is greatly appreciated. I would just hope that you guys continue to provide that opportunity for these in this curriculum that is available for the kids. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
No, that was pretty complete.
Hello, my name is Katie Thayer, and I am a member of the Marysville FFA chapter. I think students should be allowed to have guide dogs in service on MJUSD campuses. All we would be doing is helping the blind. Like, we would have the dogs, we would train them, and after so long, we give them to their future owners, which would make them really happy. It doesn't just benefit us, it also benefits the people who need them. Plus, they need to be trained around noises and distractions. You never know, maybe a blind would need to come up to a school. So if someone lived down the street, they can just walk their dog up to the school. And I have witnessed a firsthand dog training. I've met some graduates here recently in the past month, and when I talk to the people who have trained the dogs, they highly recommend it to high schoolers because honestly it gives you good skills to work with animals and it gives you good skills to work with other people also. So if you guys will, hopefully you guys will say yes, it would be honestly a big opportunity to have it at our school. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. My name is Taylor Howell, and I'm also a student, a part of the Marysville FFA chapter. I also agree that...
I'm sorry, could you give your name again?
Yes, I can. Taylor Howell. My last name, it's T-A-Y-L-O-R, and my last name is H-O-W-E-L-L. I also think that we should have guide dogs on any of the Marysville Joint Unified School District campuses because they allow the dogs and also the puppy raisers to have the experience to train the dogs and get them experience before what they get to accomplish in the real life after these puppies graduate from the guide dog graduation. I also had the experience to go to the guide dog graduation this past month as well and got to meet some of the dogs that we saw graduate, and it was a very wonderful experience that I got to see, and I also got to experience seeing the dogs firsthand be on our campuses throughout the years when this thing was still going on and we can have them on the campuses. It also gives the students on all the campuses what it's, shows them what it's like to be around the dogs and gets the dogs used to all their different surroundings, like noises, and things that will just help them in the real life. So once again, members of the board, I think that we should allow the guide dogs to come on the campuses. Thank you.
So, Taylor, I do have a question. Is this your dog that you trained here? Can you tell us whose dog this is?
Her name is Awakened, and she's being handled by Mr. and Mrs. Mito right now.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Jeff McGill. I think you know how to spell my name. I wasn't really planning on speaking, but I just wanted to add a couple things. The main thing with the guide dogs, and you've heard a lot of great things tonight, other than knowing I'm old, I also remember many years ago playing football with Randy Rasmussen at Yuba College, so that puts us about in the same time frame. The thing about the guide dogs is the socializing. So the cool thing about high school is there's so many opportunities, whether it's a rally, welding class, wood shop, PE, jogging around the track. You know, the thing that we're trying to do with the guide dogs is to have them experience anything so that as a guide dog raiser, when you're done, the guide dogs ask you, the guide dogs for the blind ask you, are there issues with the dog that we need to know about to help them to make a good fit for somebody like Doug? And so that's really the key thing. And the nice thing about a high school is there's such a variety of noises. Like I said, whether it's a rally, like I've had Oasis at Wheatland for the last 6 weeks because of your, you know, consideration of the policy. She has been all around campus, been on field trips, been to the rallies, the assemblies, the football games, all those things. And that is what makes a guide dog really good. And so, you know, my own daughter, Marjorie McGill, who used to come to these meetings and bring a guide dog for many years, because we had him for almost 10 years, the neat thing is that these dogs get out, and you get to learn what they can do and what they can't do, and not all of them make it. So, you know, that's the neat thing about being able to come to a school, is they get a good opportunity to experience kind of the real world. So whether it's a bus going by or a plane flying over or whatever it is, it's just a really good opportunity. Thank you. Is there any questions?
As passionate as all of the individuals who have spoken tonight, I don't know that it compares to Mrs. McGill's passion. I have met with Bonnie, and certainly she has shared resources, and that's why you see the policy here before you tonight, so that we can codify what it means to be a trainer of a service dog on a campus. I think we all here recognize the value, but we just needed to put a few pieces into place so that we can continue what has begun here. So you're all really great, and the students, thank you so much for coming. I know it's hard to get up in front of this group. Your dogs are to be commended, and for those of you who train them, bless you. I could not give the dog up after a year. So that's why I have four. They're not guide dogs. I'm not sure what they're good for, but certainly they are my comfort dogs. So thank you. Thanks for coming and speaking to the board.
I, if there was somebody else that was going to speak, you should have that opportunity.
My name's Wyatt Howell. I'm Taylor's father, and I had no opinion on this matter, to be perfectly honest, but as I'm listening, we put a lot of emphasis on guide dogs, and I hope you guys are looking at it generalized as service dogs, because there's many different types of animals that are service animals for people with all different disabilities. So I'm just kind of wanting to play off of what the lady in the back said earlier and just bring that to you guys' attention before you vote. Thank you.
Thank you for your inspiration. The opportunity to give kids
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, if there's no objection to it looks like we could have a nomination to close the public hearing motion.
I'll make the motion.
Actually, Mr. Rex, I did have one just comment before we make that, if we can. And in the administrative regulation that we're looking at, it's not saying that we're not going to be able to have a dog in training. It's just putting some restraints or how many that we're going to take a look at. So it's not that we're truly against it. It's just that we need to have some restraints on how many that there's going to be out there. So just wanted to make that comment.
Okay, Mr. Dana will move to close the public hearing. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor of closing the public hearing?
Aye.
Any nays? None. Okay, now we need a motion to approve the amendment to...
Motion to approve.
Okay. Mr. Crawford moves to approve. Okay, is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Boom.
I have a question. Everybody,
most everybody that's talked tonight read our administrative regulation and our new policy. Is that true? No? Okay.
Okay. That was my question.
Okay. Who had the second on that?
Jeff Boom.
Jeff Boom?
Did you make the second? Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Well, you said Jeff Boom, but so that's what I wrote.
Okay, I thought he nodded there. Okay.
So we have a second?
We have a second.
Okay, now we do. Thank
okay,
you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? One nay, Mr. Harris. A motion passes. Okay, that concludes the business tonight, and hope everybody reads the regulations, and good luck.